The opposite of faith is not doubt. It's fear. And the people of Judah had a lot to be afraid of around 700 BC. The Assyrians were the superpowers of the day. The Assyrians were on a conquer and destroy mission. They would take over entire cities, level them, burn them to the ground, slaughter all of the people. Or, if it was a good day, they would let the people live and become enslaved, uproot them from their homeland, take them to another country, and make them as slaves there. They destroyed everything in their path. And now this giant superpower comes to the doorsteps of the tiny nation of Judah. They stand at the edge of the capital city of Jerusalem and threaten the same fate that has impacted all of their neighbors. Destruction, slavery, death. But the Assyrian king doesn't come right away and attack the people. He decides to go with the 1-2 punch. First, he starts by sowing seeds of fear and doubt into the hearts and minds of the people of God. He sends a messenger into their land, calling out in the language of the people of Judah, saying to them, "Don't listen to your king Hezekiah. Hezekiah will try and tell you to trust in God, but Hezekiah can't save you. Your God can't save you. Just look at the facts. The king of Assyria has conquered every single nation that has come in his path. Have any of the other gods of those nations come and saved him? No. So what makes you think you're any better or you're any different than all of the rest of those people? Why would your God be any better than theirs? It's better to face the facts, save yourself, surrender to the king of Assyria." Seeds of doubt and, more importantly, fear are placed in the hearts and minds of the people of Judah, and fear is often a powerful motivator. The voices of fear get in their heads because the truth is that many of the things that the messenger from the king of Assyria said are true. This isn't an irrational fear that the people have. It's a very real fear. The king of Assyria is a terrorist in all senses of the word. And he's right there on their doorstep. The people of Judah have much to fear. It's not only the people of Judah, though, that have much to fear. Fear is pervasive throughout every time and age. I mean, just look around our world today. There's certainly a lot of fear in our world. Fear of us being attacked by terrorists. Fear of getting cancer. Fear that people who are handing out Halloween candy have laced it with marijuana. Fear that we won't have enough money set aside for when we are older. Fear that the Ebola virus will become a worldwide pandemic. And there are not only fears about the state of our world today, we also have fears about our own lives in the future. Fears about our health deteriorating, about our loved ones dying, about a natural disaster coming and impacting us. Fears about losing our jobs, not having enough money. Fears may even prevent us from taking risks because we fear embarrassment or failure. Fear is pervasive in our world today as well. All kinds of fears. Fear of failure, fear of death, fear of rejection or ridicule, fear of loneliness, fear of pain and misery, fear of disappointment, fear of the unknown, fear of losing our freedom. There's a whole bunch of things to get worried about, all kinds of things to be afraid of. And if you don't have enough on your list of things to worry about, let me tell you, I am very gifted at figuring out things to be afraid of. If you just give me a couple minutes, I can come up with quite an amazing list of things to worry about in the future. Now, maybe you don't have this problem, but I have an amazing ability to come up with all kinds of negative things that can happen anytime in the future, in our lives, in our world. I mean, just get me going with the what ifs, and I can find things to worry about. Fear comes and it seeps in. It seeps in all kinds of ways. But in the midst of this fear, what I have learned is that fear shuts us down. It shuts down our options for the future. It causes us to look inward and become consumed by that fear. And when we do happen to look out, we begin to have a very narrow view of the future, of our world, of possibilities. Our motivation only becomes to avoid the very thing that we fear, because it takes over. The king of Assyria knew this, that fear was a powerful motivator, that fear causes people to give up many of the options that are available to them. And that's why he sends his messenger in to sow these seeds of fear. But the king of Judah, Hezekiah, knows where to go in times of fear. He sends his messengers to the man of God, the prophet Isaiah, and asks the prophet Isaiah, what does God say in this situation? And here's what Isaiah says. Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard. I will put my spirit in the king of Assyria, and he will hear a rumor and return to his own land. I will cause him to fall by his own sword in his own land. King Hezekiah hears a different word spoken by God, a word that says, do not be afraid. The king of Assyria says, be afraid, be very afraid. Surrender. God says, do not be afraid. I hold the future in my hand. I'm taking care of this one. Don't worry. Put your faith and your trust in me. The word of God comes and breaks open a whole new world of possibilities. The word of God stops the fear in order to bring faith and hope. Faith that God will act, and faith that God will take care of the future. Because the opposite of faith is not doubt, but it's fear. And God wants God's people to walk by faith, to live in hope. And so God says to God's people, do not fear. And yet the problem is it's really hard to believe those words. If you've ever been frightened or worried, when you're really concerned about someone, about something, and then someone comes up to you and says, oh, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. Does that just take it all away for you? Because I know for me, that doesn't work so well. It's not so well the don't worry, be happy. If it were that easy, I'd just do it. But instead, these are different words that are spoken. The do not be afraid is spoken by the prophet Isaiah, by one who is a man of God. God is speaking words. God is speaking to the king of Judah, to Hezekiah. And these words of God's are words that we can trust and believe in, words to give us faith and hope in the future. We know these words are true and can be trusted because these words come from God, who says, do not be afraid because I'm taking care of the situation for you. And this is the same God who has kept God's promises all along. This is what we actually have been seeing throughout this entire season here, as we've been focusing on God's faithful promises. We've heard promises that God made to Abraham, that Abraham would have a son. And Abraham does. 99 years old, his wife 90 years old. They have a son, Isaac. Talk about a miracle. 99 and 90, but God kept that promise. And God promised Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars and that they would live in the land that God promised them. And over 500 years after that promise is made, God frees the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob from slavery in Egypt and brings them into the promised land, just as God had promised. God kept God's promise. This is the God who is speaking to Hezekiah, saying, do not be afraid. There is no need to be afraid of the Assyrian king. The God who says to us, do not be afraid, because we can have faith in the one who is giving the promise, faith in the future that is held by God. The challenge is that many times God keeps these promises in unexpected and unanticipated ways. It took God 25 years to give Abraham and Sarah the promised son Isaac. It took God over 500 years to bring God's people into the land God promised. God keeps God's promises, but sometimes it's in God's time and in God's way. But what we do know is God's word is sure and true. And when God says, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, even though all the facts tell you otherwise, we can have faith in those words. The people of Judah were called to have faith and trust in those words in 700 BC. But we too are called to have faith and trust in those same words today. Because in the midst of our lives, which are filled with fear, God comes to us and says this same thing. Do not be afraid. Do not be consumed with fear. Do not let fear paralyze you. Just this last week, I was in the midst of a wonderful, or maybe not so wonderful, time of imagining all of the what ifs that could possibly happen. And I was getting ready for bed and read one of my devotions from Jesus Calling. And this was the devotion for the day. It said, fears surface over and over again, especially the fear of the future. You tend to project yourselves mentally into the next day or week or month or year or decade, and you visualize yourself coping badly in those times. What you're seeing is a false image because it doesn't include me. Those gloomy times will not come to pass since my presence will be with you at all times. When future-oriented worry assails you, say to yourself, Jesus will be with me then and there, and with his help, I can cope. These are words given to each one of us as fear begins to seep into our lives, because God invites us to not be afraid, because God is with us. God invites us to live with faith, to live in hope. God does not promise that nothing bad will ever happen to us. Instead, God promises that we are not alone. In the beloved Psalm 23, the words say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or though I walk through the darkest valley, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It doesn't say that there isn't a darkest valley, or that somehow you could just walk around the brim and miss the darkest valley, but instead it says that God promises to be with us in the midst of our darkest valleys. And this is a promise that we can believe in because of the one who makes the promise. Do not fear the future, God says. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of failure or death or rejection or pain or loss. I am with you. God breaks into our fears and says, do not fear. God makes this promise and God keeps promises. God's promises are true because God is with us. God's promise to not fear was true for King Hezekiah. The Assyrian king did not prevail and conquer Jerusalem. And now, 2,500 years later, where are those Assyrians anyway? Nowhere to be found. But God is still here. God's people are still here. God's promises are true. The opposite of faith is not doubt, it's fear. And in the midst of the fear, God says, do not be afraid. I am with you. Amen.